Yeah, there's something that happens when all of a sudden the service is solely about Him. When you ever get to the place in your worship or that, and the only thing that matters is Him, it's fascinating how everything else, your perspective changes, everything around you changes. I felt like we reached a point in worship where all of a sudden in one accord, it was all about Him. You know, as one of the leaders, you can get caught up in things being out of order or unstructured or chaotic or all those things, you know. And I think He just likes it when all that's washed away and it all, you know, it's just about Him. Yeah, I'm going to be short purposely, so if I fall behind, unplug the mic or something. I have about a 3-hour message. I have 9 pages of notes. So we'll just split it up for that. And this for me is a little different because I actually like looked up Greek words and stuff. Yeah, that's like Dennis's thing. That's not my thing. God's really cool for me. He just makes everything simple. When I got out of grad school, I vowed that I was never going back to school. You know, did what 17, 18 years of schooling was plenty. And so ever since, the Lord has just made things really simple for me. So I think simply. I try to communicate simply. I believe everything about God is simple, and we just make it complicated. It's a simple walk with God. You know, when we can't handle it, He carries us. When we can't handle it, He plays with us. Never leaves us, never forsakes us. He just walks with us through life, right into eternal life. It's never ending. So, hallelujah. We have spoken in this church and taught in this church and walked in this church and tried to live out in the church the whole concept of the kingdom of God. Wow, it's been a long time. And really, that's all Jesus did. He came and displayed the kingdom of God. Before He left, He basically said, kingdom of God's within you. Now walk it out. And I think it's so hard for us to grasp the truths of the kingdom of God, and that's why we consistently talk about them. But it is the foundation of life. Absolute foundation of life. If we do not grasp the kingdom of God and who we are in the kingdom of God, we have little to display to this world. So I want to talk just a little bit about certain aspects of the kingdom of God, because I think it's so vital for the church. The world is just waiting for the church to rise up. Yeah. We've seen so many other things rise up to the tragedy of the world. And the world's just waiting for God's people to rise up and display the kingdom of God. So, Father, we just ask that we receive from You today what You want to say. We ask that You make things simple to us so that we can see it, so that we can know it, and that we can live it with You. We thank You for it. We thank You that You inhabit the praises of Your people. It's not only a promise, it's a fact. This is what You do. And we're thankful that You can take every care off our plate, and it can just be about Me and You. You alone are worthy. So we give You our praise even now, God, as You speak to us, Holy Spirit. We bless You and thank You. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. This verse has been on my mind for a little while. It's interesting how the Lord speaks to you differently at different times in your life. And lately, He's just been highlighting verses to me and just talking to me about it. And sometimes I don't think it's much. I told my wife today, I should feel more You know, when the Lord, you should feel more. Lord spoke to me, right? It should be exciting. It should be, oh, I want to share it. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. And, hey, I'm letting into things that go on my mind, whether you're interested or not. So you're like, anytime God talks to you, it should be like life changing, right? Altering. You know, the earth should shake. And sometimes you're just like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? But this verse hasn't left me. And so Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. So what I wanted to talk about today was righteousness, peace, and joy. But the most important part is in the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to touch on righteousness today and keep us brief. Is that, you know, I would rather have us walk away with one simple truth that we can chew on than try to get a bunch in. And we can tackle the rest another time. So I'm going to give you definitions. I don't know how I'll elaborate on things. I never do know how we'll elaborate. I like going down bunny trails, and sometimes I'm surprised where I go. Hopefully you are too. Don't want to be too predictable. We're all uniquely made, right? So dictionaries define righteousness as behavior that is morally justifiable or right. Such behavior is characterized by acceptable standards of morality, justice, virtue, or uprightness. The Bible's standard of human righteousness is God's own perfection in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior, and every word. Got that? The Bible's standard of human righteousness is God's own perfection in every attitude, every attribute, every behavior, and every word. Now you know why the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Right? But you are righteous. Had an interesting discussion a few weeks ago with a Catholic friend, and we were just talking about whether you're a sinner or a saint. And I kept saying, you're a saint. If Christ is Lord and Savior, you're a saint. But when I sin, I'm a sinner. Nope, you're a saint. But I sin. Yeah, but you're not a sinner. And we went round and round. I was like, you don't get it. You're looking at the wrong thing. He paid the price for all your sin. You are dead. Dead. Say dead. Okay. To the law of sin. Hallelujah. Right? And now you're in the laws of love and life, spirit, right? So who you are, a new creation, does not sin. Christ looks at you and sees himself and says what? Saint. How dare you go against what God says about you? Can you sin? Sure. Can you not sin? Absolutely. You should try it. But so many people get trapped in the things they do instead of who they are. And what we just said was, you are the righteousness of God. So we're going to go a little deeper into the definitions. But I want us to grasp that we are the righteousness of God. And what does that mean? Jesus came and restored something that was lost. Right standing with God. It's not about what you do. It's about who you're in love with. The Bible is that simple. Who are you in love with? I first fell in love with my wife. I did some of the dumbest things. We could have comedy hour just regurgitating the dumb things I did. I was so in love. Logic out the window, nothing made sense, you know, just her. You know, if you're that in love with Jesus, what's he say? Oh, yeah, you'll obey. You'll fulfill everything. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, right? Love your neighbors as yourself. What? Everything else is taken care of. Where's the talk about what you do or don't do? Love. We get so caught up in things we do or don't do, and we forget the aspect of love. Has he become that familiar with us? I'm sure I take my wife for granted often. She's familiar to me. But there's an aspect rooted in that I'm in love with my wife. You came to God because he loves you and enabled you to love him. If you simply stay in love, you don't have to think about the things you do or don't do. Okay, I'm falling behind. The Greek New Testament word for righteousness primarily describes conduct in relation to others, especially with regards to the rights of others in business, in legal matters, and beginning with relationship to God. The Bible describes a righteous person as just or right, holding to God and trusting in him. If you pay attention to those words, they're all about relationship. The New Testament word, and I'm sure I won't pronounce these right, dikaiune. It's really weird, right? I'll say it in English, dikaiune. Sounds better, right? It's the equity of character or act, especially Christian justification or righteousness, but the root word of that is dikaius, which again is equitable in character or act, by implication, innocent. By implication, holy, absolutely or relatively. It's just, meet, right. Root word of that, DK. Right, as self-evident. Justice, the principle, the decision, or the execution of. Judgment, punishment, or vengeance. Root word of that. Okay, now for me, this is like really deep. Okay, I didn't just give you a word, I gave you like four now. This is like mind-blowing by my standards. Okay? A prolonged form of an obsolete primary of the same meaning. To show. So what do all these say? You display the righteousness of Christ. Period. When we say, for the kingdom of God is righteousness, it is you displaying who God is. That's it. Now, this is the part that blows people away, because it's not about what you do. About who you are in him. If we would spend more of our time relating to him, we would get so much more accomplished for him. All right, Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Yeah. I want to talk about the words briefly, hunger and thirst. What I'm trying to do is categorize righteousness into a couple of things. Okay? The word is panau, needy. Again, I'm describing hunger and thirst for righteousness. Desire earnestly, dipsayu, which is thirst. I love this. Painfully feel the want of and eagerly long for. See, there's an aspect of the kingdom that is within our DNA that we crave. See, you think just the world's crying out for the sons of God to be revealed? Your inner man is crying out to reveal himself. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's zadteo, to seek, to search for, to crave, to desire, to require and or demand. First Timothy 6:11. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. The word pursue. Again, I'm trying to categorize it. Hunger and thirst, seek, pursue. It's an aspect of righteousness. It means what? Give up everything and go after it. What does that mean? Relate to Jesus. It's as simple as it can be made. What is your pursuit? I want to spend time with Jesus. That's it. What's it look like? Making time. Dioko, aggressively chase. Earnestly desiring to apprehend. Second Timothy 2:22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So again, what am I saying? Go after it. Go after him. I love the Lord and I spend 2 minutes a day with him. Let's be real. I wouldn't let my wife, she wasn't my wife then, put down the phone at 3-4 o'clock in the morning just to hear her breathe. I wanted to relate. I wanted to be in her presence. That's consumed everything. It's all that mattered. Is she all that matters? The kingdom of God is righteousness. He's all that matters. If you're not eagerly seeking, hungering, thirsting, pursuing further relationship with him, then you're living like the world. You got your foot in the wrong kingdom. And that's not to condemn anyone, it's not to chastise anyone, it's to help you just lift your foot out and put it in the right place. See the old songs, right? I like old songs because I'm old. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Doesn't matter what way you were going, doesn't matter where you were heading, at any moment, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim. Right? Just turn. I don't care what you're doing. Turn. Pursue. Hunger. Thirst. Seek. That's what you're called to do. That's who you are. Second aspect of righteousness, Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I want to look at the word revealed. This one has like too many syllables. Ap, ok, al, oop, tu. Looks like apocalypse, sort of. It's to uncover, to bring to light, revealing what is hidden, especially its inner makeup, to make plain or manifest, particularly what is immaterial or invisible. What am I saying? I'm saying God shows you stuff that you can't see. Good way of putting it, right? He makes things known that you couldn't possibly know. So don't worry, be happy. Right? Pursue him. He'll reveal stuff. That simple. How do I know? It says so. For the Bible tells me so. Romans 3:21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. The made known is phanero. It looks like phanero. To make visible, to make clear, to properly illumine. To make manifest, to make plain in open view, to become apparent, graspable. This isn't something that you can't apprehend. He makes it known to you so you can grab hold of it, apply it to your life, and walk in the righteousness of Christ the rest of your days. It's his. He reveals it. He makes it known. By the end of this, and there's only like a page left. I'm doing all right. You'll simply realize we're right back to where we started, to when we get to the point that it's all about him, we're in the right place. Don't even think the words, I'm not. Every time you think, I'm not, say, he is. Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, say, that's me, you have no confidence in what you just said. Thank you. Thank you. One got it. May be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, you are able to be trained, taught, rebuked, and corrected in righteousness. Why? So you're capable of carrying out the things he's asking you to carry out. What did he do? He provided his word. You're without excuse. Okay, Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I think most of us, most of the church, most of God's people struggle with this more than anything. They relate more to that which is dead than to that which is alive. You are new. You are a new creation. What does that mean? It's kainos, new in quality or innovation. Fresh in development, or opportunity not found like this before. It's time we start relating to the uniqueness we are. How could God take this lump of clay and make in me his image? If you are the image of God, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. First Corinthians 1:30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Just a couple more verses. This is the best part, because it really just makes it simple that it's just not about us. It's just who he's made us be. You can deny it all you want, and you're going to waste a lot of time, because it's who you are. If he's Lord and Savior, this is who you are. You are the righteousness of God. But what about that thing I did? You didn't do it. What? A dead person did that. Dead and buried. You're not under that law. Okay. I don't know where you live, Illinois, Wisconsin, wherever. Well, wherever you live, if the state came and removed all the speed signs, speed limits, so therefore there is no posted speed limits anywhere, there's no laws relating to speed limits, can you speed? If he conquered the law of sin and death, why do we want to resurrect it? You're the righteousness of God. Philippians 1:9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Earlier I said I felt like a divine exchange was happening. And there's always a divine exchange happening. We bring who we are and we take away him. Always we are the righteousness of Christ. That is the relationship. There's always this exchange going on. Constantly, more and more of him, more revelation, more understanding, more of knowing him as we simply love. And what's the result? Fruit. I love fruit, not a veggie guy. This verse, I would have trouble with this verse if it says the vegetables of righteousness. He knew what he was saying. Philippians 3:7. Just two more verses. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Divine exchange. Here's all the things I did, God, according to the law, to show you that I'm like worthy of something. All about me. And we exchanged it for, oh, it's all about you. You overcame everything that I've tried and tried and couldn't do. And you've given it to me. Not only that, but you gave me your purity. You gave me your holiness. You gave me your righteousness. So that in me, you can live. And the world can see something different in me. Your kingdom that they truly long for is on display through a divine exchange. You are the righteousness of God. Last verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word is genomahi, to come into being, to emerge, to happen. It signifies a change of condition. I like this part. God's actions as emerging from eternity and showing themselves in our time. So stand with me. Father, your kingdom is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy. When you gave us your kingdom, you called us your righteousness. It's in not only a one-time deposit, it's an ever-going exchange of who you are in us and who we are in you. Father, so right now, we just accept the exchange. No more excuses. No more looking in the mirror and saying, I'm not. We're going to look and say, you are. You are the greatest one. You are, Jesus. You are. That is our prayer. That is our right. That is our relationship. That's what we want to portray. That's what the world needs to see, that you are. And we thank you for it. Father, whatever you wanted each individual here to receive in your word, I ask that they receive it now. Make it plain. Make it clear. I thank you for it. I just pray your favor and blessing upon everyone in an abundance. I pray that your glory would be made known through them. And I thank you for it. Bless their places of work. Bless their homes. Move mightily. Kingdom of God, invade this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.